Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text for this morning comes from the first reading from Acts chapter 1 and the gospel from John 17. You may be seated. Dear saints, this past Thursday, the church celebrated Christ's ascension into heaven. Next Sunday is Pentecost. So this Sunday is sort of an oddball Sunday, stuck in between these two great high feasts of the church, Ascension and Pentecost. It's one of those Sundays when it's perhaps not clear what we should do or what we should talk about. Our lesson from Acts and the gospel reading, I think, sort of have a similar feel to that. I like to call it the now what feel, or the what's next sort of feeling. In the gospel, Christ is praying for his disciples before his death. I can imagine that the disciples were listening to the prayer and probably wondering what Jesus was talking about when he said, "I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I am going to you." What? Is his ministry ending? What's next? In our text from Acts, the disciples are back in their upper room after just witnessing Jesus ascend into heaven before their eyes, disappearing from their sight, probably wondering, now what do we do? It was unclear, perhaps. Fortunately, God worked through Peter to give them some direction. Perhaps you have had that feeling. What's next? Loss of a job? The onset of an illness can cause us to wonder, now what? The death of a loved one, the breaking of a relationship, some tragedy in our nation or world. Now what, Lord? What are we supposed to do now? During this pandemic, every day seemed like a now what. What are we supposed to do today? Wear a mask, not wear a mask. Visit family, don't visit family. Have church, don't have church. Now what? The first thing the disciples do, the first order of business on their agenda, is to select a replacement for Judas. They select Matthias to be the 12th disciple. And his addition into the 12, of course, brings to mind the disciple that he replaced, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. In our text, Peter calls Judas a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Now, this is not the friendly guide who leads you on a tour of the museum. This is not a shepherd guiding his sheep to green pastures and still waters. This is not a teacher or pastor guiding you through a Bible study. This guide, Judas, leads the way to death. Death for our Lord, giving him over to the enemy. This guide is in the service of Satan. He is the chosen apostle, not of our Lord, but ultimately of the devil. Judas is, of course, perhaps the most notorious example of a minister of death. After all, how many of you parents out there even considered naming a son Judas? But Judas is hardly alone in his betrayal. How many of the disciples opened their mouth when Jesus was arrested to defend him? Most of them ran off when the soldiers came. Peter, perhaps Jesus' closest disciple, denied even knowing him. All of the disciples failed Jesus. When Jesus sent them out in Luke chapter 9, he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God, and yet when he was betrayed, not one of them proclaimed anything. Not one of them opened their mouths in his defense. They were silent. And in that silence, they too, like Judas, became agents of darkness. To be sure, Satan still has many ministers today. And we too, sadly, have been called into his ministry, called to be of service to sin, rebellion, and death. The devil needs his own ministers. He needs flesh and blood people to carry out his will on this earth. Satan can and does tempt, but it is ultimately us, it is ultimately people who sin. The devil can plot and plan, but it is through mankind that evil is done. This is the utter tragedy of sin. Satan's will is done with our hands and our mouths. His lies are on our lips. His lust and hatred finds a home in our hearts. His thoughts inspire our minds and become reality through us. In us, the devil finds willing participants for his own ministry. So we should fare no better than Judas if we're honest with ourselves. However, the devil not only seeks to show his power on earth through particular sins and evil that we sort of see around us. He wants to recruit his own ministers, yes, but he also wants to silence the ministers of God. The devil knows that God's power lies in his word. He's seen it since the beginning of the creation. When God opens his mouth, light chases away darkness. Life is formed from nothing. And from the beginning, his word has been placed in the mouths of people. God gave his word to Moses. When Moses spoke, plagues destroyed Egypt. The Red Sea was parted. Pharaoh was drowned in the sea. Or Elijah, when he opened his mouth, fire came down from heaven to consume the sacrifice, and a widow's son was raised from the dead. The divine word spoken by the prophets, bringing forth incredible signs and wonders. That same word became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus, the Son of Mary, not a minister of death like Judas, but the ultimate minister of life. Adam's silence in the garden when the devil tempted Eve brings death on children, all of our children, all of humanity. But Jesus' voice restores everything. When Jesus opens his mouth, demons are cast out, sins are forgiven, the dead are raised. As Jesus himself declares, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. What joy there will be when that voice sounds forth on the final day. And it is for this reason that we rejoice in the election of Matthias to fill the role of the 12th apostle. Jesus had ascended into heaven, and no doubt his disciples were wondering, now what? Just like we do from time to time. Now what, Lord? What's next? But in the selection of Matthias, we learn that God does not abandon us. He does not abandon his church. Christ has ascended, yes, but that is for our benefit, that he may fill all things, that he may be everywhere with his body. And we learn that in the selection of Matthias, he sends his ministers out into the church to defend herself against the powers of darkness. Christ will not stand by in silence. Remember what Jesus promised his disciples? The one who hears you hears me. It is precisely in the word of these apostles, in their flesh and blood, that the word of the Father increases. It multiplies. It fills the earth. Matthias is now a mouthpiece of the one who created the heavens and the earth. The words of Matthias, the words of any of God's true ministers, are words of Christ himself. In his voice, the almighty voice of the Son of God is heard by dying people. His ministry brings the real presence of Jesus in his flesh and blood. Now, when we look around us in this world, we see sin, we see corruption, we see decay, strife, war, death. Were this all there were? Were this the end of everything? We could only despair. But we know that there is more. We give thanks to God for Matthias, the apostles, all the ministers of the word, those whom God has graciously given us to proclaim forgiveness of sins in Christ. For in this ministry, the power of Christ to forgive sins, to conquer the devil, to conquer our fears, to raise the dead becomes reality. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and his ascension, if these are to have any meaning for us, Jesus must call Matthias. He must send forth his Spirit at Pentecost. He must establish the ministry of the one holy Christian and apostolic church. He must deliver that salvation to you and to me. He baptizes you by putting his name on you, delivering Christ's victory to you. He sends ministers to proclaim God's word to you, to deliver the forgiveness of sins in the very body and blood of our Lord. In this church, Christ's life becomes your life. His death becomes your freedom from sin. His resurrection becomes your victory in Christ. And his ascension becomes our sure and certain hope that we too will reign with the Father, sitting at God's right hand. Of course, doubts will rise in our hearts and minds. We will experience the tragedies of sin, the sorrow of death, the questions of, what now, Lord? And some of them will hit very close to the heart. What do we do now? But God reminds us that in the midst of sorrow and questions, he remains constant. The ministry of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, continues on in our midst, comforting us, forgiving us, reminding us of the eternal life that we have, as do our departed loved ones in the faith. Matthias was but one minister called by God to proclaim his goodness, but thanks be to God that he continues to send his messengers out to proclaim Christ crucified and risen through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.